chairperson of the portfolio committee.
He went to Zimbabwe yesterday with the delegation of parliament on an official duty, so he'll be back next week on Monday. However, the rules of the National Assembly allow members of parliament to elect an acting chair for the session if the chairperson is absent. So I would like now to open the floor for the honourable members to elect the chair for this session. Honourable Khateb.
Thank you, Comment Secretary. Can I nominate Honourable Nomelo Ngelokina to the acting chair?
Thank you, Honourable Khateb. Any second? Honourable Moni.
I second the nomination.
Thank you very much. I kindly request Ms. Gina to come forward to chair the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anele. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, let me welcome everyone to the meeting, especially the delegation from SASITA. We are looking forward to hear what you are here to present to us today. Oh, before I even go there, I think it will be proper if we just go through introduction very shortly, just to save time, but it's nice if we're dealing with people who know exactly whom we are dealing with. I'll start with the members of parliament, just to quickly introduce themselves, then hand over to the leader of delegation from the Department of Higher Education and Training, then lastly go to the SASITA to briefly introduce themselves, then we can start with our business of the day. I'm Nomalo Ngelokina, a member of this committee who will be the acting chairperson of this session today. Can I hand over to you, Honourable?
Thanks, sir. Morning, everybody. I'm Silence Makuvele, a member of the portfolio committee as well.
Khadebe.
Maya, two last name, member of the committee.
Mr. Chair, good morning, everybody. My name is Alfred Potan, a member of this committee. Thank you.
My name is Crosby Moni, a member of the committee. Chobe.
Morning, a member of this committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Bosman, also a member of the committee. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. Honourable members, good morning. My name is Clive Mchisa, the acting DDG Skills in the Department of Higher Education and Training.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable members. I'm Malivo Lunga, the Chief Director for SASITA Coordination, Department of Higher Education and Training.
Good morning. My name is Omega Shalembe. I'm the Chief Director for Finance in the Department of Higher Education and Training.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Edivet Boy, the Chairperson of SASITA Board.
Morning, Chair and Members. I'm Dombe Kaya Kamada, the Acting Chief Executive Officer of SASITA.
Morning, Chair. I'm Peggy Mvovo. I'm the member of the board of SASITA.
Morning, Chair. I'm Soling Washeng, the Senior Manager Skills Development and Administration at SASITA.
morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Luvuyo Mboniswa, CFO of SASSETA.
Morning, Chair. My name is Makubete Sekonyane, Senior Manager of Skills Implementation Monitoring at SASSETA.
Morning, Chair. My name is Isabel Garden. I'm the Acting Senior Manager for Corporate Services.
Thank you very much. I think everyone has introduced him or herself. I will just introduce the two ladies. It's not only ladies, I'm sorry. If you can quickly go to the mic and introduce yourself, please.
In terms of Comble, researcher for Higher Education Portfolio Committee.
My name is Mompao Mdinwa, Committee Connect Advisor.
Good morning, my name is Fundi Koduka. I'm the PA to the Chairperson for the Portfolio Committee.
Thank you very much for the introductions. As a committee, we last met SASSETA last year, October, towards the end of October. I might not be sure of the date, but I think we can all remember the challenges and the hiccups that we saw, that we had, things that were not going okay within the SASSETA, and the agreements that we set as the SASSETA goes back to their offices. There are things that we're waiting for them to work on, and it's quite a number of them. And most of the challenges were around the issues of the supply chain management, the policies that were not in place, there was quite a lot of them, of which from the ages report, there are so many things that were highlighted that the SASSETA had to go back and work on them. And I was happy when we got the progress report, though I was not fully happy, and the committee is still going to talk for themselves, where we see various areas where the SASSETA is reporting to us that they have worked on some of those areas. But I have to record it straight and clear here to say the progress report that you are getting doesn't seem to be very much good, but we are still going to give the SASSETA a chance to talk on such things. But worse when it comes to the areas of supply chain, as we are saying, they were not good and they don't seem to be good even now. And we think that is where everything is starting for you to operate as a SASSETA. We are very much keen to hear what is it that you are going to be presenting to us. Yes, we have seen even the update reports that you are coming up with. There are things that we have done, but there is a lot that we still need to discuss and looking at the report that we have. Also, the thing that we questioned most last year, you need to brief us on. I think you remember the service provider that you have given 700,000, if I'm not mistaken, which subcontracted another one for 100,000 for just one. You know, those are the joint ventures. Those are the discrepancies that we are very much keen to hear. And here, how have you dealt with such, and how are you going to tighten the bolts when it comes to such issues? But let me not waste a lot of time because we are still going to get in as a committee. Can I allow you, Chairperson, to lead the discussions and the presentation that you are here to present to us? Over to you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. You're correct, Honorable Chair, in your brief remarks that you are making. That indeed a lot still has got to be done within the SASSETA. And I think we acknowledge that as a SASSETA, that there is a lot of work to be done. And I must say that we are doing a lot. We've done a lot so far, although maybe not at the pace that the committee would be happy with. Because, you know, sometimes people don't understand the time factor when they do things. They take too long until they have to be to be pushed. And I think that's what, as the accounting authority, we have taken a decision to do, to take drastic steps now, because sometimes talking and talking and talking does not assist. It's only when you take drastic action that then that people realize that you are quite serious. But also just to make an indication on the areas that we have addressed as the accounting authority, especially when it comes to the audit findings. We have realized that little progress has been made, and therefore the accounting authority took a decision that the executive committee on a monthly basis must be able to monitor the implementation of the audit, the implementation action plan. Next week we are going to have a board, and in that board the executive committee is going to present a report in terms of how far we have gone in addressing the audit queries. And already I must say that the executive committee is not very much happy with what has been presented to it, which we are going to recommend some steps to be taken by the board that will be sitting over 2 days next week. Amongst the things that the board will be considering next week, of course, is a host of policies which have been highlighted in the audit report, and we have then taken the decision that to make an annual review of all the policies just to make sure that our policies are in line with the government legislation. And all of that work is what will be put in front of the board next week. In terms of the supply chain management, as well as irregular expenditures, there's some action that the board has taken. And I think later on, I would request an opportunity where I would request my management to leave, so that myself and the other board member would be able to take you into detail with regards to the action that we have taken so far with regards to those matters of the supply chain as well as the irregular expenditure. And I must say that we are doing a lot of work also to change the system within the CETA. And what amongst the things that we have done was to come up with a planning cycle, because one of the biggest areas where we had a problem was the performance information, where we were reporting on the current quarterly reports on projects which were almost 2-3 years old. And we have changed that in our planning cycle to say that we no longer, because the trend within the CETA was that the implementation of projects for the current financial year would only start around October, November. So that has changed now. For instance, I can proudly say that at least for this current financial year, we have managed. We have placed the advert, and we'll be implementing on the 1st of April going forward. And one of the things that also we've been battling, as I'm saying, as part of changing the system, we've been battling with, was to get rid of all of those projects and take those funds and utilize those funds. But there's been some resistance which we're managing, and I must say that a lot of those projects have been closed. Now, if we do have them, it would be probably for 11-12 financial year. And the reason really for the 11-12 financial year is that there as well, while the board was pushed, you know, to make sure that projects are approved in time, but we've been let down by management, because projects, for some reason, after the approval, they delayed the signing of the contract, and that delayed the implementation of the contract. But I must say that going forward, we don't think that we'll have that problem of performance management. We are also working very hard in terms of one of the findings was, for example, around the filing system within the city. And we have up to date acquired a service provider that is going to work on the filing system within the city. And also
to interject.
Yes.
But why they are still telling us about the progress that you are telling us about, I know you haven't got into the report for today, the presentation as such, but if you're saying you are on par, you have advertised everything, but when we look at the reports that you have with us, there are things that are not yet addressed even now, looking at the issues of bidding points, you know, all those things. What are you working on? What is it that we can be assured as to say you are telling us now that come April you'll be starting with the with the project? When you talk to your performance management, how are you managing it if ever the report that we have from you is saying those are areas that have not been addressed? So for me, it doesn't give a clear picture as to say, yes, April will come, you will be starting, but if ever you haven't addressed such issues, what are you working on, Chairperson?
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I was just giving a picture of, I think the report here is going to be presented, which will tell you about the exact work that has been done and areas where work still needs to be done and areas where the work has not been done. But let me just conclude before I give the acting CEO to give you a report. I'm just giving you this background chair so that you have a picture of what we are doing. As much as some of the information, I must agree with you, that I'm telling you about has not been within the report. Perhaps that's the constraint that maybe we had. And I mean, we can always make that this information available because it's work that we've done. And I must say that out of our assessment, Hansoms are saying that even the executive committee, when this report was presented to it, was not very much happy because we have made a deep analysis of why things have not been moving. I'm going to summarize. One, we have called our audit and risk committee to say, why are we in this situation? In their explanation, they then informed us that the audit plan, which was presented by the auditor, by the internal auditors, had some problems. And as a result, it delayed for them to adopt the plan. As a result, the internal auditors started very late with their work. They started around October last year, which they were supposed to have started by May, June. Secondly, we then said, we're not happy, we're going to raise that as part of our unhappiness with your performance as the audit and risk committee. Then we had a meeting there with the internal auditors, and we asked the internal auditors, but why did it take so long for them to do their work before the actual audit? They made an explanation, but we're not happy with the explanation. As a result, the executive committee is going to recommend to the board not to renew their contract. Now, with regards to management, the executive committee has been mandated to meet with all senior management, starting from the acting CEO up to the last senior management, to get precisely why have they taken so long with this progress. We are not happy. So I'm trying to demonstrate that if even ourselves, we are not happy with, as much as we are trying as the accounting authority very hard, but we think that people are not attaching some seriousness in terms. Hence, I've said that we are going to take those drastic measures. I will hand over to the acting CEO just to give us the details about the implementation, the progress.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Madam Chair. My presentation will be on the progress that we have made in terms of the two findings that were found wanting on by the Auditor General as presented to the Portfolio Committee on the 31st of October last year. I will, ma'am, with your permission, request that perhaps as I go, because it's 62 findings, zoom on the areas where we have not made much progress. I will give a highlight of the areas where we have progressed, but I want to zoom on the areas where we have not made much progress. But again, with your permission and the indulgence of the House, from time to time request the senior managers to chip in and assist with giving more explanation in terms of the interventions that we are currently making in ensuring that come 31 March, which is in 2 weeks' time, even the red areas are turned into a current status. I've used legends for the easiness of the reading, which is green means that we have adequately and effectively addressed all issues that were raised by the Auditor General. Amber means we are addressed the issues that were raised, but however, we have not effectively addressed them such that we say we're ready for being audited on those issues. Red is an area where we say we have not adequately addressed and effectively addressed those issues. Pending are issues which were raised such that we are saying in order for us to say we have addressed or not addressed, come the audit of 2013-2014, we will be able to be giving an indication of whether we have addressed. I'll give an example of those areas where I've indicated those. Ma'am, as I've indicated that out of 62 findings that we have raised, 21 of those findings we have effectively and adequately addressed them, which gives us 34% of the findings. And 15 of those findings we have partially addressed them, and 8 of those findings are pending, and 18 of the findings were not addressed by management, which are giving us an indication of that we are at 29% not addressed as we speak. This is a graphical presentation of what I have just given an indication, and this is what I have requested to zoom on that 29%, because this is where the challenge is that we are to deal with between now and the end of the month, this month. With regards to finding number one, where we had issues with regards to our performance information, Madam Chair, I think in the chairperson's address you would recall that we got a disclaimer in the performance information. And with regards to finding number one and up to number four, those were the issues that were raised by Auditor General such that they couldn't even pronounce on whether our performance information is announced, is adequate or not. And we have adequately and effectively addressed those findings. I must indicate that for the first time in the history of the CETA, we have an approved strategic plan and the APP by the Department of Higher Education and Training, signed off by the Minister as an indication of happiness with regards to how we have crafted our indicators and so on and so on. So I'm not going to waste the House's time on finding number one to number four, because we have addressed those issues. We have submitted our threat plan. We have submitted our APP. They have been since approved. But we still have a challenge with regards to finding number five, where they were saying learners that were entered into the prior years are reported in the current year. I think, as the chairperson has indicated, that we have a legacy of old projects where our planning cycle was not aligned to the budget reporting cycle. For instance, you find a situation where projects are running beyond the end of the financial year. And especially for 2011-2012, projects were advertised very late, and for 11-12, And as a result, some of the contracts were entered into very late towards the end of the financial year, which is around 29-31 March of the financial year. And the question is, when do we report around the implementation of those projects? If you enter into contracts in March of the financial year, when are you going to report on those projects? That is why here we are saying we have not adequately or effectively addressed this area, because for 13-14 still, Auditor General is going to find us wanting here, because we've got for 2012 projects that we had to report upon on quarter one of the of our QMR implementation of the 2011-2012 projects. But however, as a chairperson has indicated, we have developed a planning cycle which is aligned to the CETA budget cycle, and it's been approved by the board. We have distributed the planning cycle to all the chambers for compliance, and going forward, we have to ensure that all our projects are aligned to the reporting cycle. ANC has indicated that for 2013, our projects for 2013 have been advertised in March, such that come 1 April, projects are ready for implementation for 2013, not projects being implemented later in October or December of the financial year. That makes us to report in the next financial year. In addition to the planning cycle, we have developed policies and procedures to ensure that projects are implemented within months of contract signing, failing which, if contracts are not signed within 1 month of approval, those contracts will be cancelled. This will curb practice of employers coming to register learners at the end of the financial year. That is another intervention that, even though we are saying we have not addressed that issue, but we have interventions in place to try and ensure that we reach a green status when we come to report next time. The next finding is finding number 6, no certificates for the certificated learners. Here again, we are still found wanting, because Madam Chair, I must indicate that throughout my acting period as a CEO, there had been challenges in the sector around records management, because we have moved. When we appeared to the Portfolio Committee in May 2011, the House raised issues, concerns about the rent that we are, the amount of rent that we are renting in Galaga, such that recommendations were made by the Portfolio Committee for us to get a cheaper accommodation. And we have acted on that recommendation of the Portfolio Committee, and we moved to a new building as at 1 September 2012. So we have had challenges of ensuring that our records properly filed because of that movement, because we had to unpack them from the boxes and so on. When we were assessing our progress on implementation of this, with regards to filing, we still had some challenges, because we are not yet at a stage where we can say our files are now at an order or at a stage where they can be audited and be found not wanting. But as at 1 February 2013, we commenced on a project of ensuring completeness of all performance information, and we've appointed 8 temporary staff to assist us with ensuring that we clean our records in preparation for audit 2013, and ensured as well that we have appointed a metro filing to assist us in cleaning our records, in making them electronic as well, so that our filing, when AG comes in April, our filing is not found wanting. And finding number 7 as well, it talks to the same issue, no learner achievement forms, and we are addressing that through a proper project of ensuring that we clean our files between now and the end of the financial year. No agreements provided, that is finding number 8. Again, the same project is addressing that in each and every file we have certificates, we have learner agreements, we have got a SPO2 forms in the file. So all the information that is requested for substantiating our performance information. Number 9 as well is the no learner information was obtained. That project is aimed at ensuring all our performance information files are ready for being audited. And I will go, Madam Chair, again, because finding number 10, we have addressed that finding. Number 11, we have addressed effectively that finding. And number 12, we are saying we are pending, because we are still waiting for Auditor General to audit us in terms of our targets, whether we have, at the end of this financial year, effectively achieved the targets that we have set ourselves to achieve. 14 is also a pending Auditor General pronouncing on that issue. Number 15 we have addressed, and number 16 we have addressed those particular issues. 18, 19, and 20 we have addressed. But I want to zoom on number 21, learner agreements not signed. I think here, again, it's also the project that we have engaged on in ensuring that we clean all our discretionary grant files will address this particular finding. But a project plan has been initiated to consider all learner files. Hence, I talked about the appointment of 8 temporary staff members and Metro 5 to assist us in terms of that. We are also engaging our stakeholders in ensuring that e-compliance on an ongoing basis when they submit files to SASITA is not compromised. Then another red area is on the issue of closeout reports not in the discretionary grant files and payment made. In terms of the requirement for discretionary grants is that whenever we make a final payments to service providers, we should have closeout reports. And in addressing this, we're saying a file plan project has been initiated to review all old learner projects, and ET2A5 has been adopted at the management committee and has been implemented as of 1 February 2013. The issue of evaluation of Letlhabile Institute of Management project, I think this was also another finding, talking to finding number 32. We have amended our discretionary grant policy, and EXCO and board have approved the amended discretionary grant policy, and such that we are saying all applications in terms of that regulation must follow the established evaluation process. The SOP for discretionary grant processes has been developed and it's in the process of being finalized, and it spells out that all the steps that each and every official in the sector that deals with discretionary grant must follow. And we're saying those SOPs must seek to guide compliance with regards to administration of the SITA. And if there are any areas of non-compliance with our SOPs, senior managers must hold staff accountable for that before the AG finds us wanting on those issues. From finding number 37, where we have again a red indicator, the issue of no original tax clearance certificates on the file, I think, Madam Chair, because the audit was completed in around June, July last year, there were files when we were reviewing 2012-2013 procurement areas that from 1 April and towards the completion of the audit, there were files that still didn't have, they were not in the broader sample that AG used to come to this finding. And we're saying we have not effectively addressed this finding because we, in those files, instead of us having original tax clearance certificates, we had copies of the tax clearance certificate. And AG said, no, we don't want copies, we want original tax clearance certificate. And finance, the CFO may assist us here, finance is currently in the process of ensuring, especially for 12-13, that they target those particular transactions and go to the service providers and get those original tax clearance certificates, such that when AG file comes, we are not going to find a repeat finding on this particular issue. Finding number 39 is the required number of quotations not obtained from suppliers. I think here, Madam Chair, with your permission, I'm going to request CFO to assist me with the explanation, because this is talking to the catering services in the theater, where you will explain the issue of permeation and so on and so forth.
Thank you. On the issue of, because when we compiled our database, when we invited all the suppliers to apply to be included in the database, what we realized was that for catering services specifically, there were around 8 providers that were there for catering services. And those 8 providers, actually, even as we speak now, 3 of them, their tax certificates have expired, so we will not be using them before they have their tax certificates in order.
But the others, what we found was that in terms of requesting three quotations from them, because of the high volume in terms of the catering services that we require at the sitter because of the meetings, you'll find that in order for you to go through the eight suppliers, probably you'll go through them within a week or two. You would have gone through all the suppliers. Now we decided on a practice that let's have them on a rotational basis. If one has been used, then the next meeting another one is used and another one is used. But because that is a practice that wasn't really in terms of policy, supported by policy, although we have now adjusted our supply chain management policy to include that, but there were transactions between the 1st of April right up until the approval of the policy that meant that they were not regulated by a policy framework, which then the ESCO took a decision that those transactions, because that practice, it seems feasible, those transactions, let's have a deviation being prepared that will be looked at by the board so that addresses this finding. Otherwise, this finding is basically on the catering services that we're using them on a rotational basis because of the number of the suppliers that were there on our database.
Yes, supply chain deviation not approved by the accounting authority for catering services.
Yes, the deviation not at when we had our audit, the audit report was given to us in June by the AG, that is June 2012. After June, then we implemented to address this finding. But what you found was that the transactions between 1 April and 30 June, before we got the report from the AG, they were still following the same order where the deviations from the normal tender procedures or the deviations from normal procurement procedures were signed by the then CEO. But then the AG felt that this shouldn't be signed by the CEO, but they should be signed by the accounting authority, which after the report, yes, those were implemented. But those transactions before the report was given to us, it meant that those transactions were not signed by the accounting authority, which is part of the because there is a project that we have implemented in the supply chain. That project is to go through all the payments to see which payments are not in line with the prescripts, and we bring those up, and if they can be rectified, then they are rectified. But I must say that probably at a strategic level, because what we have realized is that with the supply chain, there has been some issues of capacity. Issues of capacity that when we looked at, we realized that probably the SCM unit, it's not correctly staffed as it should be. So what we have done is that we elevated the management of the unit because it used to report to a finance manager. So and that practice was there when the CITAS started. And because the CITA has grown tremendously since then, it meant then that in terms of capacity, we were found to be lacking. That is why the board then took a decision that let's have a supply chain manager that will manage the unit so that the practitioners report to a manager who is competent and qualified in the issues of SCM. So that decision has been taken, and we are in the recruiting process as we speak. And moreover, we have beefed up the supply chain management unit by two more officials, and on top of that,
we have developed a training program for the SCM unit so that they are well capacitated. So at a strategic level, those are the other areas that I would like to bring forth.
With regards to finding number 41, things therefore, we have addressed 41, Madam Chair. 42 up to 44 is regarded as pending because we have not advertised any tenders for the year 2012-2013. And we're saying we don't want to say we have addressed this issue. We will look at it and review it again in 2013 audit because we have not advertised any services above 500,000 rand, and therefore the issue of evaluation of the bid criteria and so on could not be assessed as to whether we have adequately addressed that one. Then I will zoom in another red area, Madam Chair, which is number 52. SASETA does not have a policy for employer receivables. I think what we have done here, Madam Chair, we have developed a policy on employer receivable because it was inadequate of our finance policy, and the board on the 22nd of March, as the chairperson was indicating, is going to approve this particular policy such that when AG comes, we are not again getting a repeat finding on this one. The lease agreement does not specify the capital amount with regards to finding number 53. What we have done here is to do an addendum to the contract because there is a technical aspect with when it comes to this particular issue, because the lease agreement did have a contract amount, but there was an unspecified amount, CFO.
On this one, whereas the lease agreement has an amount, but technically, because of accounting standards, probably, and in terms of reporting, it is the same. Maybe if I could make an example of saying that if there is a car purchase and let's say it's costing 200,000, they wanted to say that out of the 200,000, how much is the capital amount, how much is the interest? Whereas the contract was just showing the full amount, but they wanted us to break it down to say how much is the capital amount and how much is the interest, which is why we have prepared an addendum which should address this finding by the time the Auditor General comes. That's number 54. And then on the 55, suppliers not on the supplier database. Here, when we advertised for the suppliers to come onto the database, I think that process was done a little bit late because from the 1st of April, we cannot stop the processes from running. So from the 1st of April, there was some procurement that was done, but though that procurement was done from the previous database, that is the previous database of 2010-11, because the new database, it was being put together and being captured. So that is why we were found wanting, because we were still using the old database whilst we were still putting together the new database. But part of the project that we are doing with the finance and the supply chain team is this, where we are going through all the payments and finding out which payments are not according to the prescription. These are some of the things that you will be picking up before the Auditor General comes for its final audit, so that these are rectified before they come. Then if I were to go on page 50, on finding 56. Finding 56, it is the same or a similar finding that I had spoken about with regards to catering services, where we are required to be using them on a rotational basis, which will be there addressed in terms of the deviation that will be looked at by the accounting authority. Then probably whilst I'm still on finance, let me do or supply chain. Let me do 60 as well. On the inventory requisitions not approved by the delegated officials, this I must say that it has now been.
Apologies, can we just get a clarity? I want to get the link. How does the internal control mix with the issue of catering that he has just explained? Because catering is another sector that other issues of internal control. It's a different sector. Because be able to explain to us what is happening, because you mustn't just take, you know, say, you know, it's catering. If NLA can just procure diaries here, we say, no, it's catering. No, it can't. Internal controls, it's two different things with catering. You must be able to, you know, separate the two and explain what do you mean by that, that is being, you know. Thanks.
BFO, you might respond to that. I know it was burning on him, though I'm still going to give them a chance to interact with the report. But if you can, you can respond and continue. But I'll just plead with the members. Let us allow them to present up until the end. Then you will be given a chance to come up with a question.
Okay, thanks, Chair. The issue of internal control here is that when you go and procure services that are above 2,000, you must go on a 3 quotation. So that's the control that you go above 2,000, you go on a 3 quotation, and then you source a provider. So I'm saying here, because of the number of the suppliers that were there for catering, those small suppliers that are in our database for catering, they were in total about 8. So because of the high volume of meetings that we have as an institution, then that 8, you would have finished it probably in a space of 2 weeks. So what we are saying that rather than making permutations and saying I'm getting three quotations from these 3, and then you go to another 3, you get 3 quotations, you run out of permutations quite quickly. Therefore, that's why the practice that we did was to say, if today it's this particular provider, tomorrow it's going to be the other one, tomorrow that other time, so that at the end of the day, all of them that are there in our database have had services rendered for SASITA. So that's how it came to be. So on the issue of number 60, yes. On the issue of number 60, inventory requisition, this has been addressed subsequent to this report because all the files, because there were a couple of months, I think there were around 4 or 5, where there were requisitions that were not signed by the delegated official. But we have reviewed all the file and all the requisitions that are there are in place, and they have been approved. So this one, by the time they come, they will find it in order because it has been addressed.
Reconciliations will be done electronically as at the 15th of March going forward. So I don't think we are going to have this finding again as a repeat finding. Okay. Madam Chair, brings me then to the end of the 62 findings and the progress that we have made thus far. I must give an indication that even as management, we are very much aware that we are left with only 2 weeks towards turning all the red areas into green. And we are currently working overtime in the office and as I've indicated that we have procured some temporary staff to assist us with cleaning our records management system. The entire finance division is working tirelessly in ensuring that come 31 March, we are not going to have repeat findings on these issues. But over and above that, we have put processes of ensuring that we write to individual line managers and ensure that issues that were raised by AG in the 2011-2012 management letter, each and every manager is going to be personally accountable for ensuring that there is not going to be a repeat finding on those particular issues. And that is why the interventions that we are doing so far, over and above the executive committee interventions in assisting us and supporting us as management. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you very much, CEO. Though I'm not yet convinced, as to say, you have been having so many months, but you are promising that you work on these areas within 2 weeks, but let's wait and see. Chairperson, Mr. Boy, you even talked, there is another presentation before I open up to members. When are we coming up with the update on the presentation, the following one? Is it the one that you have requested, that you request the officials to leave us so before you get into this one?
That's correct.
Okay, fine. Honourable members, the report has been presented in the 62 areas. I'm opening this to you to question, comment, and discuss the issues that have been presented to us today. Let me note hands. Professor Bosman, is it Professor Doctor?
Thank you for the promotion.
I'm trying to do that. Professor Bosman, Honorable Moni, Honorable Professor Mayatula. Honorable Hadeze, Honorable Makubela, in that order, please.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation and also the update on how far we've gone with all the problems that was highlighted by the AG. Chair, I am still concerned. Obviously, you've also put your concern on the table on some of the issues, and I maybe at the start would like to find out how confident are we that we are addressing the issues and that we will have it finalized by this financial year and not have a repeat of all the issues that was highlighted in the previous AG's report. What I would like to maybe just get clarity a little bit more on is it concerns me that the learners are actually at the short end in most of the issues that has been addressed, specifically from point 6 to point 9. Where outstanding certificates is still not addressed. And I would like to know for how long back has these certificates been outstanding? Is it so difficult to reconcile them and get the information that is needed to issue the certificates? And how long will it still take to finalize this issue? Because you know that a student, once he has finished his learning cycle, he would like to get a certificate so that he can enter the labor market. And I think most of them are at this stage, unfortunately, not in a position to enter in the labour market without the necessary proof. The second question would be on the skills plan, on number 17. The sector skills plan does not indicate the different skills. I need some more information there because I can't understand that we have a sector which do not understand what skills they have to prepare and what training that must support those skills. Maybe I'm not fully informed on this, but this is not a nice sort of a highlight of a problem that exists if you don't understand what it means. Then obviously the financial situation is worrying, because I can't understand how we got into a position that, for instance, on number 31, that we cannot close the grant files. We cannot reconcile the payments. And it seems to me that there was a real lack of control and management of that. So I would like to maybe just get clarity on that payment control as well. I think most of the other things I can understand, although we have still got some of our reservations about the report at this time. As you've said in the beginning, Chair, that we are really worried that we find ourselves in a position that we cannot have a real peace of mind situation and report at this time. But obviously it will take maybe to the following AG's report, and I will then be looking forward to see the next AG report to find out how far we are with the other things. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. My first question relates to the number of conditions required. It looks like this is not good. This has not been addressed. I fail to understand why. Number two, there is something that I do not understand. Lack of capacity. Does it mean employment of unqualified and incompetent people, or does it mean people who just do not want to do their jobs? What does it mean? On the issue of the total lease amount broken down into capital amount and interest, why do we have to wait for the Auditor General to have this addressed? Lastly, why is the reconciliation of leave days not addressed up to now? That does not need anybody. It needs the people who are there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. How I wish the chairman's remarks were in black and white. I'm trying to link them to this, and I'm sure at what stage we're going to be addressing them, because this is the personal committee meeting. Here are some ideas to share, but unfortunately they are not in black and white, which would assist us. Let me go technical. The first, the following legends. What are legends? A lay person, I usually link legends with this people like my friend next to me here. I go to your first graph, that pie chart, whatever you call it. I suggest we change that 8% to 13, otherwise we are 5% less. That 8% to 13. I hope you get what I'm saying there. Yes. I take you to page 5, the theory number 18. Again, I'm just deliberately technical. How I wish I had an understanding of AOPO, what that is. You know I don't. Again, I'm deliberately technical. You were talking about the discretionary grant, until on your item 32, you talked to me about a DG policy, which I translated to the Director General policy. The rotational, I am on 39. Since for catering, you have accepted that you are not going to go for quotations. You are going to this rotation. I don't know the general standard, because you are not the only center. Is this the understanding for all centers, or is it only this one that has catering every week, therefore they have? Again, given that this was tabled some time back, Are we saying I'm going to I've crossed over to 40? It seems most of the things are thrown to the board meeting that is meeting on the 22nd of March. Does this tell me that ever since the report, the board did not meet in order to be able to take some of those specific, to me, some of these issues would have already turned green if the board took this so seriously and a special meeting just to sort out those things that need to sort out? Because sometimes now some of the issues are thrown to the board of March. We don't even know whether the board is going to be accepting on what basis. If it doesn't, does that mean we're going to get ahead again next time? I take you to 59. You say 59 has been sorted out, and that is my comment too. But I don't know whether there was something wrong with your computer to change the red into green. If you say that has been sorted out, why do you bring it here as not addressed? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Well, Chair, the challenge that I have with the city is that it looks like it doesn't know how to prioritize the issues that needed to be addressed. If they can be able to give me a clarification that in terms of all the 61 findings, couldn't they prioritize what was important? Issues to deal with this service delivery. I'm just asking. Because this tells me that the main objective of this feature existence is not going to be achieved. Because what you're going to deal with, you're going to try and finalize or sort out issues of catering. Which doesn't address the issue of objective. Then it tells that this feature only deals with issues of, you know, paternity issues. Because as Honorable Bosman was just saying there, issues of providing this certificate, my view was that was at the highest importance. So as you ensure that these students get those certificates, we ensure that the issue of providing, you know, objective deliver is addressed. The other issue, you know, I'm just asking myself, the chairperson of the board was just saying you've got monthly meeting to provide feedback and report. As you know, Honorable Manachula was just saying here, if the board is meeting every month to provide feedback, what's holding these resolutions to be, you know, proceeded with? Why can't other problems, you know, being dealt with? It really gives me worry. The other issue is that some of the other aspects you were saying, you know, they've been addressed. But if I can be able to get a clarification, like for instance on your number 15 and 16, that the way it says no proper basis of preparation of budget, and no person responsible for coordinating and managing of objectives, but it says being addressed, finance, CEO's office. If you can be able to give private depth clarification in terms of that, maybe that will give me a this thing. The issue of saying management of joint venture project, that is being addressed. What do you mean when it is being addressed? because you passed that one, and you know that it became the thorny issue previously. If you can be able to give us a clarification, say, what do you mean by that? Because it's an issue that must be able to get the sponsor. But also that I'm interested in terms of, because you've just explained to say that you've moved to new offices. The lease agreement, that probably, have you got a new lease agreement, have you signed it? What is the difference between the previous lease agreement and the current one? What is the amount difference? Because changing lease agreement or getting new accommodation, it doesn't necessarily mean that they can be, you know, it can be addressed adequately. Because if for instance, let me make an example, if I stay in, I've got an office in Kukulechu, I might pay 5,000 rand a month. But if I've got an office next to the Cape Point, I'll pay for the sea and for the mountain, that will go up to 50,000 rand. So I'm making an example, because we must be able to clarify, you know, in terms of that level. Now that question that probably I interjected, Chair, because my concern was to CEO was that in terms of your internal controls, do you only deal with catering? Because you don't explain issues of stationery, you don't explain of other issues, because if you say you've got only 8 service providers, then my question is to say, okay, you rotate all the 8. But what are the other services that are below amount of, you know, of, I mean, where you need 3 quotations that you provide? Because internal controls, it doesn't necessarily mean in terms of those quotations only. But it also speaks in terms of filing, whether you manage to file these invoices and stuff. If you remember correctly, at some previous, that previous presentation, it was being said that there was an invoice that was submitted, which it was paid more than the quotation. Now, those are issues of internal controls. Whether I can manage to compare the two, say, the quotation was saying 5 rand, and the invoice is saying 10 rand, what is the GVA? Those are issues that I'm talking about. Because once we start focusing into catering, we're losing the point. Let me reserve the other ones, because I just read the other report. We'll engage with it later. Thanks.
Chair, thanks. I would basically have loved Honorable Hadebe who could have raised the others, so that I simply concur with all those who raised the issues. And not have any specific one. It's okay. Chair, there are just a few things one would want to raise. But initially, let me put a right by saying that at the management level and in terms of accounting principles, there are certain things that are expected. And once we put policies in place, we should adhere to them. It can't be acceptable that at some point you just flout them. Whatever emerges, if you have not reviewed or amended your policy, you can't just bring in certain things simply because your discretion says so. For instance, you can't say in terms of the police, you are expected to seek quotation, 3 quotations, once it's above 2,000 or anything. But because of some other reason, you say, but we can as well just take, rotate all of them if the policy does not say so. On which basis? Now you are factoring in your own understanding within the police. which is not written. It's just based on your convention or whatever understanding you have at that point, reasoning. And if the codice is not as flexible, you can't bring the such or same in. All I'm saying, Chair, is that if people were to go by policies, you will not go wrong. But the moment you start reasoning with the police during implementation, that's when the problem starts. And it may not be on these catering matters alone. I'm just saying, in general, if there's a framework on the basis of which you have to behave or conduct business, you don't in the process bring in other things unless such situations that come when you are not aware of them, you must be able to deal with. You must then take that to the board or whoever is the authority to say, we come across the following, can we effect changes to the policy? And once you are given that permission or that is approved, then you are able to continue doing business based on that new framework. And I'm saying, sir, it shouldn't be, others will keep on having these problems. You may say there won't be a repeat, but as long as people feel they've got a right to justify why they're doing certain things based on their own understanding, not the police, then we'll have a problem. And I think that point is made. We may no longer overemphasize it. So you may not have a problem if you stick to your policies. Chair, let me just find out a few things. The first is that you're saying because you moved from some offices to the other, that affected your records and your filing, all of that, meaning that all these are hard copies. You don't have some IT system that backs up your manual. I see you nodding, but I just want to find out, Chair, because that will be a problem. It means if at some point the building perhaps ends on its own, all records are gone. I'm not sure if that's what I'm getting here, but you don't have a backup, which may be on the base of some IT, wherein if it was to be stored somewhere, you are able to retrieve it. And perhaps you'll clarify more that one. The other, which I'm worried, Chair, it will get back to the first point I raised. If you say we want these people to rotate as eight catering companies and so on, and not go the quotation route, and suppose the board allows you to do that, how do you do it? Do you do away with competition, obviously? Do you then set a ceiling to saying charges can be up to this? Because you can't say all the service providers charges the same amount. It's not for you to dictate that. Another may be a catering company as well, but they may feel a plate is 60 rand. Another may say 35 or 40 rand. And once you say rotate, it means you are giving them the same figure to some degree. Or you can't just say, if it's your 10, charge whatever will pay you. Because if it's my 10, you can't come and dictate a price. It means there's something there. But if we want to stick to policies, Chair, it will mean that perhaps that may not prevail anymore. But I was interested in understanding, if you're rotating them, what then are the conditions? I was very much interested in that. But I can do without that explanation, Chair, as long as we understand that things should be according to policy. It is said now, within this or after the findings by the Auditor General and our meeting with them, there has been no project that has been or that is costing 500,000 and above. Hence, a particular finding became somewhat irrelevant for now. But it can as well be that as SITA, you might have decided to have all of them. If it was supposed to be 500 and above, you sort of get them divided to make them 250, and the other will be 250 or 300,000. The other will be 200,000 just to do or go about the 500,000 figure. Can we be assured here that it's not there, so that one day, if you are to be investigated and we get that, it will mean that you lied to the committee today. We want to get that from you, so that if you did that, because there's a tendency of the truth coming out at some point. So if you say, yeah, that no, there has been no such thing, and you confirm it, and at some point, if it does happen, that some investigations come to reveal that you lied, at least you are able to take appropriate actions at that point. The last one, Chair, because I said I hoped Honorable Thadebe had gone further, would have covered me, and I would have simply said, Kila Galeo, that's what we simply concur, agree with other speakers. My very last point is the finding, which is number 32, somewhat it passed my mind, or at that point I lapsed. I didn't hear the actual explanation. And I know that on issues of which ones, whether it's just about these finances and all that mismanagement, we're still going to get another report. But I just did not understand what accounts to this not being addressed. Why? Unless if it was said it has been addressed and I didn't hear it. Here it says it has not been addressed, that no evaluation of Le Clavile Institute management project. What accounts for the failure to evaluate? I'm not getting, or I've not got it, but somewhat I felt it was past hastily. Perhaps that's why I just did something and the next thing went past it, and I wondered why didn't we give ourselves time on it to explain that we could not evaluate this one in particular owing to the following. So if we could just get that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Chairperson, in your response, I think the issue of capacity when it comes to supply chain management specifically, all the question almost has been revolving around that. If, Chairperson, you can just tell us and be honest with us, when we talk of the issues of capacity, what are we saying? It has been raised, but are we really saying here the people that we have within our sector are not able to do their job well? What's the problem? Because when you look at all these challenges and the areas that have not yet been addressed, for me, if people who are there were willing to do their job well, if they knew that they are waking up every day to serve the country, to serve the communities out there, if they are really taking the value for money as the priority, knowing that they need to deliver to the poor out there, for me, it really shows that there is lack of capacity. But what is it that, well, how can you explain that lack of capacity? Is it because they are not able to do the work, they don't want to do it? And Chair, let me even open it. Let that not even lie with you. We have the people here. We have the CFOs. They can even talk for themselves as to say when they wake up in the morning, really not being able to have quotations, to keep records. What is it that they're doing within the future? Do they... Is it a point of order? Oh, I've just noted you. Thank you. I've noted you. So if we can just unpack that part, because we have people who wake up every day, for me it cannot be a reason to say the city has grown, thus we are lacking capacity. These are the basic things that need to be there. Even if there is one person, these are the most basic things that need to be done. Is it done deliberately? what's the issue around this? Because we cannot sit here every day look, just addressing one and the same issue, whereas we do have people who are supposed to do this. Why are they not doing it? Can you be honest with us? That is what we want to hear. And on the issue of those 8 temporary staff going to work on the database, more especially on the learner information, it's even worse now. We have moved. There is no backup records, if ever they are not there. But this was the challenge. This was an area that was there even before you moved. There was no information. Where are they going to get it? Because for me, it says it was not even there in the office, the Galaga Estate office that we were in. It's worse now we have moved. Now there are these 8 staff that have been appointed. Where are they going to get this information? Are we going to some staff? But at the end, we need to see them being certificated and whatever. But in your own view, where are we going to get such an information? These 8 people, what is it that they are doing there? Chairperson, let me hand over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm happy that you raised this question, because while to a certain extent we might be having those capacity challenges, but I believe that it is all about commitment. We have people who lack commitment and who do not really take their work seriously. You're correct. In some instances, there are simple things that even yourself as a person, you can't understand how they could be allowed to happen. You know, you just can't understand, and even yourself, you would not know how to explain them. But I'm happy that it is raised, and I want also members themselves here to be frank and open and tell the portfolio committee why, for example, files cannot be, you know, are not available. One of the things that I can highlight revolves around a problem that has been raised by the Auditor General to say that we struggle to find a simple thing. And as a result of that, the audit, instead of it being completed in a month, it will take 2 months. So all of those pointers, they tell us something as an accounting authority to say that perhaps it is not really a question of only people do not have capacity, but is their willingness, is their commitment. Do people understand that they are employed to deliver? And if they understand that, why? What is making it difficult for them, you know, to execute what they're supposed to do? So I want to hand over, Honorable Chair, to the acting CEO, probably to respond in particular on some of the interventions that as the accounting authority we have come up with. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, before heading over, can I give a chance to Mr. Mvova? I know CEO, his hand was up. I think there's something that you wanted to chip in and say.
Almost a technical issue as well, like the ones that the professor was raising that side. That's where I think the member, Honorable Khadev, did not get a clear answer, because I think they were not talking with the CFO, were not talking to the same issue. I just wanted to clarify that the CFO, there seems to be a problem with numbering. That if you look at number 55, which is red, which was showing there, is no verbal stroke written quotations obtained from suppliers. But with the CFO's address, it's a different number. Now, CFO's talks of
56 in his addressing of 55. And now when you look at 56, 56 is actually internal controls, which is now different from 55. I thought that there was that problem, that when he was speaking on 55, he said it's 56, and therefore you couldn't relate why internal controls, and he's talking about catering, and catering is actually 55. So I thought that was technical. Then the second issue, Chair, which I think is also what always becomes our problem as well, which Honorable Khateba is raising, is the issue of the main objective. What are we supposed to be delivering as a CETA? You know, at times we hope that we could, these small things, you know, things about catering, who's catering this month, and those things become a problem. You know, we wish that we can actually deal with what as a CETA we're supposed to be delivering. And that is what the Chair is saying. Most of the times we've got a problem in terms of how management deals with issues, how they prioritize issues. Even when you sit in meetings, issues of governance, when you get your minutes, when are they, once you've taken decisions in meetings, that you come again to the second meeting, those things have still not been implemented by people that are just sitting down. So I think now there's actually more a commitment from the governance structures, from the board, from EXCO, to actually push things going forward, to push people to make sure that once we've put everything in place, even with policy positions, including those issues of rotations. The rotations of suppliers, I think the Honorable Member has actually made a valuable input in terms of the issues of price ceilings. But that was a political decision taken. It doesn't come from management. It actually came from governance structures. Because when we look at suppliers, you find that there's only one supplier that always gets a tender to supply. And our meetings, there's frequent meetings, there are many meetings, but money only goes to one person. And we then said we need to find a way of rotation. But in terms of that, you don't just implement, then we put a policy position. That has been actually a decision, that we put a policy around that. But that policy must also take into account what you are saying, that because it's my turn, I mustn't charge whatever. But there must be a policy trying to address. So we're trying to address something, but there must be a policy position to address. So that was actually one of the political decisions that we've taken. But most of these problems revolve around a culture that has been there in the city. There's been a culture of people not working. So and that culture, we are dealing with that culture. We've got now a new, we're actually working on a new structure for the whole CETA. And we're also working on a new remuneration strategy as well. So there's a lot of work that is taken. And the issue of the structure will also talk to the issues of capacity. Because one of the things that is being raised by the Office of the CEO is that, CFO, sorry, is that the issues of capacity also talks to numbers of people that they have got in the department. So the issue of the new structure takes into consideration that you've got the right people in place, and also in terms of quantity of the people that must be able to be doing that with correct qualifications as well. So we therefore hope that by come the next financial year, many things should have been dealt with in terms of what we're putting in place. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you,
Mr.
Chair.
Madam Chair, I think with your permission, I would request senior managers to assist me with questions that are relevant to their division, but that will guide the process. But I would like, before I go to question number one, to add on the chairperson's remarks on the issue of supply chain management capacity by painting a scenario to the committee so that there's a broader understanding of what we mean by this thing of supply chain management capacity as we are reporting. From July 2012, we have, I think there's a report that later on the chairperson is going to engage the committee on that talks to supply chain irregularities. that report is giving a reflection of this area of capacity, because subsequent to those issues that are going to be discussed in that report, we had to act in terms of disciplinary processes of the officials in supply chain. One official, we had to suspend the official in order for us to be swift with the investigation. For almost a month, we didn't have a supply chain officer in that particular division because that officer was proving to be impeding with the investigation process. That is another element of the capacity that we are referring to. The other one, that investigation that is going to we're going to reflect on, when things were picked up that there were irregularities, immediately the person submitted a resignation. And we had to sit without a supply chain officer again because the board refused to accept that resignation, and we proceeded with the issue of criminal charges and also charging the officials, and such that we couldn't speedily fill that particular position until we have satisfied in dealing with this official that has resigned subsequent to the wrongdoing being picked up. So I wanted to reflect on that when it talks to capacity, because for a particular period of time, we were running with a supply chain unit without two supply chain officials. Out of a staff complement of four, we were running with only two supply chain officials in that supply chain unit. So I wanted to give that rider in terms of what we meant, over and above the issue of skills and the issue of the structure of the supply chain unit. But we also had this happening that had made us to even further cripple the supply chain management division. Hence, we are talking about capacity this morning. With regards to question number one, as to how confident are we in ensuring that there will be no repeat findings in 2013-2014, I think what I have done, Madam Chair, in contracting with the senior managers is to make the audit for 2011-12 a key result area in the performance agreement of the senior managers. So when we assess them in terms of performance, we will ensure that each and every senior manager has ensured in his divisions that there is no repeat findings in with regards to his particular division. So it's a key result area in the performance agreement of the senior managers. Another area of enabling them to ensure that they are taking the audit very seriously. But I think what we have also committed to say, when it comes to 1 April 2013 going forward, each and every divisional head will have a standard letter across all divisions indicating to them that they have to ensure that there are no repeat findings for the 2013-2014 audit, so that people take personal accountability for the issues of audit. There has been, as Chairperson has been indicating, an area of laxity. When people respond to auditors, they don't take information provision to auditors very seriously. And this time around, we have resolved that we'll write letters, individual letters, that will have consequences for them in non-complying to the individual letters that we'll write to them. I think that's the assurance that I will give to the external committee this morning around 2013-2014 audit going forward. With regards to the issue of outstanding certificates, can I request Mr. Ngwasheng to respond to that one in terms of how long have these certificates been outstanding and why?
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the certification, maybe let me first mention the fact that we had a systems problem previously that was migrating from Praxis to Deloitte. That took us quite a long time to address. But I can safely say that has been addressed now. As of December, we didn't have any backlogs with regard to certification. The only backlogs that we had with regard to certifications was around the subs. And the problems that we had was that we didn't receive information in time, in good time from the subs department. And also, we also had to correct many of the mistakes that came through to the CETA as a result of the databases that were sent to us. But that has since also been resolved. We have now worked around a project plan, which both us and the subs have agreed, and the timelines have been indicated there to actually finalize all the backlogs that we have. With regard to the firearms, that was also one pending issue with certification,
But currently we have dealt with that, and I can safely say that we do not have challenges. The only backlog that one can say is the backlog that might have developed during our movement, and that was during December, because during that period we could not process any certificates due to that movement. Because you must remember that the delay that we're talking about here in terms of the not having the backup is that you get the hard copies from the different suppliers, and these pile up within the organization, and they've got to be captured on the system. But we're taking care of that, and we are pretty confident that we'll deal with that.
On the issue of sector skills plan not having skills list, I think it was finding number 17. I think the clarity that we can give here, Madam Chair, is that when AG looked at our sector skills plan for 2011-2012, there were particular shortcomings in terms of the plan giving the list of critical and scarce skills in the plan itself. But with the assistance of the Department of Higher Education and Training, and also in partnership with the VET University, I think we have subsequently revised our SSP, and we have submitted a sector skills plan which is compliant with what Auditor General requires us. As a result, when we submitted the SSP to them for an interim audit, there were no issues that they have raised, because we have addressed that particular issue. On the issue of clarity on payment controls, CFO, and the number of quotations, why not address? Can I request you to take the finance-related questions?
Thank you. In terms of the controls with regards to the procurement of goods and services, they are such that if transactions are above a certain value, or 2,000 in this instance, they go for three quotations. If they are above the 500,000 limit, then they go to a tender. Within that process, if suppliers are going for the three quotation route, once you get those three quotation and you appoint on the basis of the cheapest and the ability to do the job, once you do that, then when payment comes and the provider has done the job, when payment comes, it gets matched. There is what you call a three-way matching. In fact, even before the appointment of the providers, it goes through the approval processes where managers sign to say that, yes, this is going according to the prescript, and then it gets signed. And then when the provider has done the job, then what you receive back in terms of the invoice, you compare it with what was the required at the initial stage, and then you pay according to that. So those are basically, in a nutshell, those are the controls that we have in terms of the supply chain around the procurement of goods and services. And maybe as well, to come to the issue of the lease, the breaking up of the amounts between the capital and the interest. This, I must say, in the past, it hasn't been a problem with the auditors in terms of where it's being shown like that in the contract. But because they've raised it, rather than the missing, it hasn't been in the problem in the past. This is what we were rectifying, so that when they come as well for the next audit, they find that we have broken that.
Before you continue, can I give this a chance to Mr.
Chairperson, thank you very much.
To Mr. Mishisa from the Department of Higher Education.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Honourable members were structured in the manner in which they asked questions. From the Honourable Mr. Detroit, there were several questions that he has asked. Now, for instance, in terms of the response, only one or two of those questions were answered. There's a question around certificates and so on that were answered. Now, if you can have a structured response according to the question, the manner in which they were posed, so that the Honourable members can then be satisfied that the issues that they've raised have been addressed. But if we're going to leap from one question to the next question, it's going to be very difficult for honourable members to follow in terms of the question that they've posed. So if they could just follow the structured manner in which the question were posed, so that they think they can address all the issues raised. Thanks, Chair.
thank you very much, Mr. Mchisa. But for now, I think you are just about to finish with Dr. Bosman's questions, because some, I've just checked them, but maybe let us take the advisors to say, even as you go through, you follow them as we have done with Dr. Bosman's questions. So, yeah.
Thank you, ma'am. I think with regards to the question around a leave reconciliation, why have we not done a leave reconciliation? I think we, in my report, we're saying we're doing a leave reconciliation, but because we're using a manual process where the senior of the HR unit was not signing off on that manual document, that is what was found as wanting by Auditor General. That even though you are doing it as a complete recon, you should have signed it off. And that is what was found. We have done it, but we are saying we have not yet reached a stage where we have an electronic leave reconciliation. As we have said, we are starting the implementation of the DIP system as at the 15th of March, such that there is electronic reconciliation, which OAG cannot question in terms of the manuality of the reconciliation. On the issue of the Prof's questions, I think Prof's question was on the comment around the pie chart. I think we've noted the discrepancies or the shortcomings in the pie chart. The AOPO says it refers to the audit of performance information, and the DG policy is the discretionary grant policy. My our apologies for the in future we will ensure that we don't refer to those acronyms that are sometimes confusing to members. I think, Madam Chair, I'm going to request OCFO to talk to the issue of catering standards, that whether when we agreed on the catering practices, how have we benchmarked it across all other sectors, and the issue of why are policies only approved in why are we taking the policies only to the board in March, when issues were raised by Auditor General in terms of inadequacy of our policies.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe let me start with the issue of the number 60 that you that probably we seem to be talking of different numbers, because the number that I was talking about, which is a red, which is the one that I'm addressing, the inventory requisitions not approved by delegated officials, it is the one that I'm saying it has subsequently been rectified and it is now okay. It's not number 59. Probably maybe I got the thought that maybe you referred to number 59. I was addressing number 60. It has been rectified. Then in terms of the policy provisions, maybe let me clarify something that the policy that was approved by the board that we are now implementing, it is still going according to the three quotations as we go forward. No matter how difficult it is, because as I'm saying that even now we are seated with five caterers, and out of those five caterers, you have to try and do three quotations out of the five caterers. It is a difficulty that we are coming across, but it is a difficulty that we will put across to the board. But what is happening is that we are now dealing with the transactions that were before the update of the policy, where we're using that the practice of saying let's rotate it. But even that rotation, it had a ceiling, because there was a range where providers could charge. Depending on the type of food that they will be serving, so it wasn't left to maybe for every provider to charge whatever they wanted to charge, but it was within a range to say you cannot charge beyond this range. Hence, it was. So that's why I'm saying that particular practice is the one that's gonna go to the board for a decision. Otherwise, the policy has been updated to say that let's follow the three quotation even with the catering. The difficulties that we come across, probably those are the things that we can rectify as we go along.
I
group.
Sorry? The standardization that we came because the pricing actually the answer that I was giving was that the pricing that we came up with as a range, it was the pricing that was being used by even other the sitters in terms of the catering. So that's the price range that we limited providers to say, though you are rotating, this you cannot charge above or beyond this. So that was the benchmarking that we set, and we actually called them in and met with all the caterers to say this is how much you can charge in terms of the pricing.
On the question as to why are we taking policies only to the board of the 22nd of March when issues were raised by Auditor General in July last year, maybe perhaps it is to give this understanding, Madam Chair. Immediately when AG raised issues of non-compliance with regards to our policies, we selected those policies that were a requirement for compliance by AG, and we presented those policies to the board in December for the board to approve those policies so that when interim audit starts, at least we have approved policies. But when we were presenting those policies to the board in December, the board took a resolution to say, in terms of this, instead of this piecemeal approach management, let us have a total overhaul or review of all SASITA policies. Hence, we had a first board policy review workshop on the 15th to the 17th of January, where we're going through all our policies, be it supply chain, ETQA, and that it's on the 22nd of March that the board will finalize that particular work. So the work is not only starting on the 22nd of March, it's a question of finalization. It has been started as early as November last year in terms of reviewing our policies. I'll go to the questions by Honorable Member Khadeb around the issue of management of joint venture. What do we mean when we say...
You cannot pass the issue of the legend by drop.
Thank you, ma'am. I think, Madam Chair, the challenge that we have is that I have a black and white... You are having a black and white copies of my presentation. And I'm presenting there on the blog board colorful presentation, and I think when I said by red, I mean we have explained on the legends what it means. Red means we have not acted on this issue. Green means, but unfortunately, as I was explaining, I didn't realize that your colors are your copies are black and white. But I think I've
A legend in this context, it is basically something that you used instead of using another thing. So you make something to represent something else. So in this case, red is meant to represent that it hasn't been addressed. So So you use it interchangeably. Yeah, probably the honourable member, there could have been a simpler way. It's just that this report, because in the accounting arena or the auditing arena, they are using the word legend, and this report is coming from the internal auditor, so they used the legend. But probably we could have used a different one, a simpler one.
Oh, thank you very much. I think you are proving that a person... You learn up until you die. Your prof is lunch. Okay. Thank you very much for that. CEO, you can continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the issue of the management of joint venture, what do we mean by saying we have addressed that? I think, Madam Chair, what we have said in terms of the chairperson's opening address is that as soon as the board realized that there are problems with regards to this joint venture arrangements in the state, that they took a board resolution to say from that particular period going forward, the CETA will not allow any joint venture arrangement in terms of the contracts that we are going to manage as a CETA. That is why we are saying we have addressed that particular issue, even though on the report that is going to follow with the chairperson, we are going to give you details as to what have we done with regards to the ones that were reported as irregular expenditure. Madam Chair, on the issue of what is the amount difference in terms of the new lease agreement, I must perhaps say I'm going to give not an exact figure, but it's going to be an estimated amount of savings. In the previous lease agreement, we were renting close to 330,000 per month. That is when the portfolio committee said this amount of rental is too much. And when we moved to the new building, the basis for the bid adjudication committee to approve the new building is that the proposal that was presented to us was such that the CETA was going to be able to save out of that 330, close to 100,000 rands of savings in terms of the rental. So that is the estimated amount of savings that we have done in terms of this new building. On the issue of the electronic records management, Madam Chair, I think we have indicated that as part of the interventions that we have done, we have also roped in Metro Filing to ensure that all our records that were manual in the CETA, they have now been, they are now in the process of finalizing a project of ensuring all our manual files have been scanned and made sure that we have backups in terms of electronic records. And that is the project that is still continuing within the CETA that has started later in the financial year. Madam Chair, I would request Mr. Sakhonyane to give detailed account of what accounts for the failure to evaluate the Letlhabi in the project.
Thank you, Chairperson. What had happened in terms of Letlhabi is that the initial provider that was granted the money to run the project, the ABET project, had discontinued with the project, and there was a need to appoint a new provider. But the new board had come in and had halted the advance. And then the decision was taken that instead of advertising while they're getting their heads around the processes, that an approval be granted to put a new provider on board. The issue here from the auditors was that they were looking for the minutes from the board for the approval of the decision by the board, and those minutes have since been provided. However, taking from that, what we have done to make sure that we strengthen internal controls in terms of evaluation, in the DG policy, we very clearly state that no provider, if a provider discontinues, we will not automatically grant. It will either be re-advertised so that it's open up for a full evaluation process, which includes the discretionary grants evaluations committee, the discretionary grants committee, and then through to the board to be approved. It's in the new policy, but also in terms of the SOP, in terms of what needs to be done in terms of being granted a discretionary grant by SACITA.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Just to also respond to some of the remarks that have been made by the Honorable Members, I've taken note of what the Professor has said in terms of the report, and I think between the acting CEO and the Secretary, we must agree that this report will be typed in black and white and that I've made. And it will be submitted to the Portfolio Committee. Now, there are other aspects that I would also like to just put into perspective. On the catering, for example, I think the Honorable Member of the Board of SACITA PEC has given a perspective. It was, you see, the concern that we had as a board, we just took catering, so that we're not focusing on other services. But we just took it as a sample to say, because the National Skills Development Strategy 3 says that in the context of us as a city doing our business, we need to address transformatory imperatives. And those transformatory imperatives relate to how are you going to cater for the previously disadvantaged. Your women, for example. And we know that women are doing catering. There are many women in catering. So what was not acceptable to us as a board, for example, was to find out that for the whole year, only 3 providers were used. And then we had a concern to say that we know that there are so many black women who are doing catering. Why we have so many meetings? Is it possible? And we said, no, there should be a system. And we didn't say that there should not be compliance. I want to make that clear. There must be compliance. But however, we said that within those imperatives, let's look at a way of also making sure that other people also get an opportunity so that we are in line with the National Skills Development Strategy 3. In relation to the board, I think Honorable Makubele has put it in context to say, you know, sometimes other problems, you can't address them cosmetically. You've got to make sure that your policy framework is in place. Then after that, you are then able to say, we are addressing this problem. This is the problem. We're putting this policy in place. Then you, management, you must comply. Just to give you an example, Honorable Chair, the old project that we had a problem with. We then came up with a discretionary grant policy, which says that if a contract is not signed within a month, no discussions, that contract must not proceed, must be terminated. So in that way, we're trying to address some of the challenges which we had previously. And so the meeting, the monthly meetings really, it's in relation to the executive committee, not to the board, that the board has failed to prioritize. No, that is not the case. And I think Honorable Peggy has tried also to explain some of the challenges, for example, which as the accounting authority we had, which we are addressing. For example, where minutes will not be submitted on time and all of that. And for example, what we have done, the board secretary that we had has been dismissed. And we have then taken a decision now to have a company that must do the secretariat, because we're hoping in that way that problem will then be eliminated. So I just felt, Honorable Chair, that I must just put those matters into perspective. Thank you very much.
Clarifying what we meant about no proper basis for the preparation of the budget and no person responsible for coordination of the management of objective. When we're saying we have addressed that, what do we mean? I think when I was presenting about the progress that we made about our performance information, is that in year 2011-2012, AG found SASITA as a disclaimer when it comes to performance information, because some of the weaknesses that they had found is that our budget is not aligned to our strat plan and APP. We have not costed our objectives, we have not costed our indicators, and so on and so on. So when we prepare our budget, you cannot see alignment between the budget and the broader plan of the sector. Then when we say we have addressed that, we have developed a strat plan and an APP and a budget that we have costed each and every objective and every indicator within the strat plan and the APP. And we have since submitted that and the minister has approved. That's what we meant by saying we have addressed that particular issue. Around the issue of e-coordination now on reporting on objectives, I think we have now given the chief executive officer of the CETA a particular key result, a strategic objective in the APP for ensuring that when it comes to implementation and the achievement of objectives, it takes full accountability of that, which was not there in the past. The issue of performance information was scattered in terms of accountability, but now the CEO takes full accountability for ensuring that objectives of the CETA are achieved in terms of the document that we have submitted to the Department of Higher Education and Training. Madam Chair, on the issue of the bidding process, that we have indicated that it's pending because there are no bids above 500,000 rand during this reporting process. Maybe I must give one clarity first. there are two processes. There's discretionary grant processes. That is, that goes with regards to the DG funding model. Then there is the administration processes that talk to the supply chain, the bidding process. The bids above 500,000 rand, the ones that I was referring to when it regards to the supply chain processes of the CETA, not the DG processes, because those, they've got their own processes of adjudication up until the approval of the amount. But I must indicate that what the chairperson is going to take the committee into a perspective in terms of the supply chain irregularities. This is one of the areas that we have picked up, that an official had taken a 1.2 worth of a service contract. In avoiding the bidding process, he had done exactly what the member had observed, that of breaking it down into little quotations. When you combine that amount, you actually realize that this should have followed a proper supply chain bidding process. When we pick up those tendencies, we have dealt with them in terms of disciplinary processes. will take the committee in detail in terms of what transpired there in that particular issue. So we're not saying those practices were not there in place, but when we have picked them up, we dealt with them in terms of dismissing the officials. But as we report, we have no practices that we can say these were about 500,000 with regard to supply chain processes. The last one, Madam Chair, I think was from yourself to say the 8 temporary workers, what are they going to do if the files didn't have this information in Galaga, and now what is going to be their scope of work in terms of ensuring that they beef up their performance information? Madam Chair, I think having learned from the 2011-2012 audit report, we felt it very important that in preparation for a clean audit for 2013-2014, let us make sure that all our performance information in each and every file, what is required to be in that file. When we submit quarterly reports to the Department of Higher Education and Training to say we have trained so many learners, certificated so many learners, issued so many bursaries, and so on, each and every reportable that we have reported to Department of Higher Education, we have files that we have. We are saying, we come April 2013, AG, you are more than welcome to audit us in those files. So as part of the cleaning up of our files, but those 8 temporary workers are also assisting us for being ready for the auditing of our 2013 performance information. That brings me to the end of the responses to the questions, Madam Chair, not unless I can be directed to questions that I have not responded to.
Thank you very much, CEO. You know, I was going to say we are lucky today because Honorable Bojani feels a little bit, I think he's sick today, so he didn't take a chance of posing any questions to you. But I would love to suppress the Honorable Members for us to get into the next report. We only have 45 minutes left for that. But before we even go, Honorable Bojani, can you just send your question? It will go into the second report.
Just a follow-up.
Follow-up on what?
On what the chairperson of the board said. But maybe get lost into the maze. Can I have a second for... Thank you, Chair. I don't know whether I heard the chairperson correctly when he said they've got now consultants to do the secretariat work. Did I get that correctly? If I did, what would that mean in terms of finances, in terms of your skills, the skills up there? Do you yourself need some skills training? What's happening there? Did I hear you correctly?
Yes, you heard me correctly, because what has happened is that after dismissing the board secretary, we then took a person to act. But then because the person had also his own responsibilities to take care of, couldn't fulfill those positions, and were in the process of employing. We said temporarily, why there's a vacancy, because That function is so critically important. We can't let it leave it vacant. Let's get a company that is going to do the secretarial work. Actually, it's a law firm that is going to do that and make sure that in line with the Constitution that they comply when a minute is supposed to be delivered to the accounting authority and when are they supposed to issue notices and as well as capturing of the minutes, as well as giving us legal advice. No, the acting can talk to that as to how much we pay in them. But we have appointed them for a period of 3 months as a temporary measure.
Madam Chair, may I perhaps request to furnish that information for the safety of giving wrong figures to the honourable members, to the secretariat, to answer that question.
Thank you, Honourable Mponjane. Thank you, CEO. And also the reasons, as to say, really did that warrant you to have a consultant on doing that. Because for now, we are not getting in there, but if ever you can convince us that a consultant just to do that, and for how long is that consultant going to be there to present?
Yeah. No. We're going to do that, Honourable Chair, because we have looked at the functions, for example, of board secretary. And because the person that we've appointed was from SASITA and didn't have those skills of giving us legal advice, first and foremost, so that when we discuss as the board, we are able to be guided to say that. Because the previous person was a lawyer by profession. So now when we took somebody to act, that person was not a lawyer, and therefore there were shortcomings. I think, as I indicated, that we've as a temporary measure, we know what is the policy of government in relation to consultants. We're quite conscious about that, but we said as a temporary measure. But what we have committed to do in relation to the cost implications, that information will be finished. And I don't know why they couldn't even give you, because I think that information on the list, Honourable Khadebe, is available for the list, the difference. There is a difference between what we're paying previously in Kalaka and the current, which is about 100,000 a month that we'll be saving. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, for giving me that opportunity. But also, when it comes to temporary appointments, do you follow supply chain procedures, or just punch and come into?
Yeah, Chairperson, can you not respond to that question, please? I know Bonjane has just woken up now. She is coming up with us. But when it comes to the new offices, Chairperson, I think Honorable Shadewe felt short to say if you can give him an address and as to where the offices are in case he's in Johannesburg, he wants to come in and pay visit. If we can get the exact address and the numbers to... But when we wrap up, really, before we get into the other presentation, Mr. Chisa, when are we? For how long are we going to have an acting CEO in this city? What are the plans? We know usually when there is a person is acting, he can't or she can't even perform the way he or she is one wants to perform, really. She's acting. So for how long are we going to be seated with an acting CEO in this seat? What are the plans within the department? But lastly, Chairperson, as the accounting authorities, in the report that we have got, there are even the loopholes, the gaps that we see even from you, where they, sometimes you leave things not being reported, or there are gaps where you don't we are not in a position to pick them as early as possible. Very minor things. Yes, I know you are not full-time, you are not there, but I feel there are gaps even with even the board that needs to tighten up. But I think after these critical areas that have been raised by the AG, that is when we see everyone coming up and willing to work the way you are supposed to. Really will plead with you even as the accounting authorities as to say, can you come closer to the institution, make sure that things are happening. There are things that, for me, when you say it's an error that has been highlighted by the AG, where just the minutes are not supplied, you know. It's not an issue that you are supposed to be there, but it shows that here and there we became very, you are sometimes lenient and, you know, you find that the officials are not doing what they are supposed to be doing the way they are supposed to. So even with you, our board members, please, if you can tighten up the way you do things, definitely we'll see the difference within the city. But I was worried again, Chairperson, with the unsigned contracts when it comes to providing training to the learners. That is our core objective. Are we not disturbing? Are we not? Does not that have an effect on what is going to be received by the learners? Yes, we can sort our things within the institution, but are we not seeing the project, the training, the programs being disturbed too? And we find that our learners, as the recipients, are not getting what is supposed to, they're supposed to be getting. If ever we can be sure of that, that the main objective of the CETA is not affected, we can certainly whatever we have within the house, but let us not affect the learners. Let us not interfere with the main objective of the CETA, that is training and skilling our people. That is the sincere request that is coming from the committee. That is the main objective, and we don't want to see it being affected. Honourable Mr. Mchisa, if you can just respond on that, then we will go to the next presentation, please.
Honourable Chair, thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. The CEO of SACETA has been, the appointment has been approved by both Minister and Cabinet, and the accounting authority is sitting with a letter of the approval. They will then have to kickstart the process of informing the person concerned. So the matter is with the CETA now, with the accounting authority.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Just to fully address what you asked from Clive with regards to the CEO, our CEO will be starting on the 1st of April. A letter of appointment has already been finished to her, but because she had other businesses that she was doing, she requested that she be given time to wrap up that so that she could be able to start. So she will be starting on the 1st of April. 1st of April. However, we have invited her to be part of the board that will be sitting next week so that at least she can have a sense of what are we discussing, where we are as a seat. Now, with regards to the investigation, Honorable Chair, I must also just say that I want to, perhaps if I maybe have not clarified some aspects when I was making an opening remark, and maybe that might have created some confusion, but I hope that will be corrected. I want to make that apology. With regards to the report, on number one, the joint venture irregularities. we have sanctioned an investigation. But what I want to say to the committee is that when we came in 2011 as the new board, there was an investigation which was sanctioned by the old board of July. So the board then put up a budget of about 800,000. But then those people exceeded the budget. And therefore then that board took a decision to discontinue the work of that G9 forensic. So when we came in, G9 had already complained to the minister, and there was a whole problem of us having to sort out that problem first. So when, as an accounting authority, we came in and we listened to the reason and the rationale why the previous board cancelled the contract, we concurred with them after having read the report, because that report didn't assist the CETA, Madam Chair. You know, Abantu, who wants to be part of the institution, they would fish for information here and there and be part so that they can make a lot of money. I can tell you now, as this current board, we have conducted 5 investigations so far, and we have not even exceeded 1 million. 5. And all of those are on major issues. For example, on the joint ventures, there's an investigation that has been completed, and now as we speak, we have given that report to the lawyer to interpret it for us. He has interpreted it for us that, yes, the senior manager involved there is going to be charged. He has given us the format of the charges that we need to formulate for us to be able to charge on what should be the charges. Secondly, he has also given us an opinion on how to recover the money, the irregular expenditure. So that process is on course. And I think in the report, the name of the official consent has been mentioned. On the second one, the supply chain, firstly, we had to remove, I think the acting CEO did mention that, we had to remove one official because he was not helping us. The second one resigned, is no longer there, and currently we are charging the CFO for negligence, yes, for negligence as well as for failing to comply with the supply chain management policy. So the head of department is also going to be charged. But the strategy that we are employing is that if you charge both CFO and HOD, the department may collapse, and you'll find out your finances are unable. So we said, while we're running with the case of the CFO, as soon as we complete it, we're then going to charge the head of department with regards to supply chain management irregularities. I think that's the report, Honorable Chair. Maybe I know that this is not written down, Prof. I will plead for your indulgence. Just to update you on some of the interventions that the accounting authority has taken. Concrete intervention. I mentioned, for example, it is correct. You know, when you're sitting with an acting CEO, there are certain things and reservations that person does have. But what the board said when we were appointing the acting CEO, that chairperson, you should be able to assist. For example, on a weekly or fortnightly basis, you need to have a meeting with her, understand where things are, provide that assistance. And I've been doing that, to meet with her, to make sure that I also grapple with the issues. I had a one-on-one meeting, for example, with the Auditor General's office. I had a one-on-one with our audit and risk. I had a one-on-one with the internal auditor. Now, this is what the executive committee has said. As I have reported that, the issue of the audit was given to the executive committee and certain with a delegated authority from the accounting authority, not to wait for the board, but where intervention is necessary, there must be intervention. And this is what the executive committee has done. One, we have taken a decision that senior managers, no performance bonus. We are not happy with this. There's going to be no performance bonus that will be paid for them because we are not happy with how they manage the audit and risk. The audit queries. Secondly, that we are not going to renew the contract of the internal auditor. We're also going to write a letter to our audit and risk committee and raise our unhappiness with their poor performance because we don't want going forward to sit with the very, very same challenges in the future. So I think those are the interventions that we have made so far that will be reported in the board that is sitting next week, Madam Chair. Thank you very much.
I know we have started anyway mentioning the names of people. There are Mr. Ngowasheng here. We know the things that she has done, as you are saying. Yes, it's being charged. There are so many other people when it comes to the issues of supply chain, as you are talking, the contracts that have been given, we are talking the names of fathers, and what is happening around all those people. The way they've inflated the price. Just take us into confidence. Just talk to us about all these challenges that we have, the way we are handling them. We need to know even those projects where maybe we'll pay for more learners, where there's less number of learners who are being catered for. Those are the things that we are waiting to hear from you, so for us to understand exactly what are the challenges you are faced with as a board when it comes to your city.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let's start with the one, for example, where you joint ventures. What happened here is that there was a joint venture between Fakazani and Godsec. Now, there are two contracts here which involves Fakazani. There's one where they inflated money and where no due processes were followed from 700,000 to 756. That's the one where this senior official is involved. Then there's another one where the contract was given to Godsec. Now, somewhere, somehow, this information was not given to Godsec, but was given to Fakazani. And then Godsec got the information from Fakazani. And remember, these things, you read them in an investigation, they happened while we were not there. And how did it come to our attention as the current board? Is through a complaint that was sent to me. I got a complaint. To say, Jefferson, I am not happy because of 1, 2, 3, 4. So we went to the executive committee. I reported the matter. When management was supposed to respond, they couldn't clarify. There are certain things that were not clarified. They said, fine, if you are unable to clarify, then we're going to sanction an investigation because there are answers that you cannot provide to us. It is only then that one had a very clear understanding as to what happened. But I want just to mention, Honorable Chair, that this happened not during the term of the current board. It happened previously. Then, on the second Fakazani matter, like I'm saying, is that this person did the job, and after doing the job, then Fakazani did, the money was not, she was not paid by Fakazani. Whereas the CETA made a commitment that they are going to pay her because she withheld the statement of results. Then because the CETA wanted to close the project, so they approached her and committed that, no, the money will make sure that you get your money. But that never happened. So, but later on, the former CEO intervened and the service provider who did the job was ultimately paid. And all of this, it involves, it implicates the very same official who is Mr. Sole Ingwashe. Oh, okay. No, it's fine. That's why I'm saying that we've also then, after we got the reports of the investigation, forensic investigation, we've given it to the legal, to our lawyer, to help us in terms of how we can recover the money from Fakazane and what legal steps can be taken by the CETA to make sure that we recover those amounts of money which were not due to the supplier. Then I think on the second aspect, Honorable Chair, with regards to the supply chain, I have addressed that as to what I'm doing now. On the 22nd, there's going to be a second appearance. In the first appearance, the legal representative of the CFO requested for a postponement because they wanted us to furnish them with certain documents. So those documents, I am satisfied now because I met with my team. I am satisfied now that on our side, we are ready to continue with the case. That we've given them all the information, and from our side, our case is watertight. So with regards to the head, we said we're not going to charge them now, because if we charge them, if we charge him, our finance department may collapse. So as a strategy, we said we'll charge him later, but we want to quickly finalize the case of the CFO. I think that's the report, Honorable Members.
I don't know whether you do have questions on it. Dr. Bosman, I've heard your hand. Prof. Maya Tula, I've noted your thinking. In that order, please.
Right. Thank you, Chair. I think we must thank the chairman of the board for taking these actions, because, I mean, this is really unacceptable that we have a situation where people are doing misinterpreted, not really doing the job properly. What I want to ask is do you know what the signs of the amount are which are involved, so that we can just get an idea of, you've just mentioned one of about 66,000, if I heard you correctly, but is that the total amount of wastage that we experienced in the CETA? Or can you maybe give us a more proper answer? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chair, it may be more than 700, the amount of money that we're talking about here, which has been an irregular expenditure as a result of the joint venture. It may be more than that. But I am just making an example of this one because it was part of the investigation. But there's also another amount where, for example, the forensic audit pointed out that when the initial contract was signed, they were supposed to train, for example, in one instance, about 100 learners, but then they ended up training less. So the legal opinion is also pointing us in that direction, that there's money that we can also reclaim from the service provider, because what they have charged us for actually should be less as compared to what they have done in terms of execution. I don't have those actual amounts, Honorable Member, with me, but those amounts can be made available.
Now, sir, if I were to think aloud, I think according to using the Latin formula, this report is green and not red.
Okay, thank you for that. I think Prof is commending you as to say you are doing something on this thing. That is why it is red. Honorable Bojan.
Thank you. No, first just to thank the chairperson and his team for the report. This official, if you say from the department, you mean from the Department of Education and Training, or your department? Oh, okay. Finance department, okay. No. Yeah, I was cut.
No, I could see that you were looking at them and you wanted to say something. Chairperson, I think really as a committee we need to thank you on this one. There is no way where we cannot afford to clean what needs to be cleaned within these institutions. We have been saying what why are they there for? So no matter what, we always support you if ever there are irregularities and disturbances that you see, and you are taking steps to clean up the institution so that we can see that selectively out to the people. So we hope now and again, even if you don't come to the committee, but you liaise with, and just to give the updates as to how far are you with all the investigations, where are you, what is happening, what happened to the CFO, because those are the things that we'd love to hear as a committee and see the update. We really need those. We cannot see them. Just look at the public funds being spent the way they are. So definitely that is what we'll await from you. But before I wrap up, a representative from the Department of Higher Education, do you have anything to say on these issues, the charges that are the irregularities that it's being spoken about?
Another question, Chair, before the document is here. They have marked out, but their names are here. I don't know the status of the document that we're having. Just to get the sense as to what is what, because if you don't say that, we're going to. I'm just highlighting that.
Very much happy that they marked what do they call it? Highly confidential. Embargoed. Yes, because for example, Mr. Bashel has not yet issued him with charges, and yet his name is appearing here. So I think they would appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much. We had waited for the CETA to not to steal their thunder, but to share this information with you. Their decisiveness, honorable members, I think pleased us very much, because part of the challenge we have is most accounting authorities do not seem to appreciate the fact that they are the final authority in a CETA, and therefore they cannot begin to look at somebody else or another body to make the critical decision. So the final decision lies with, and the final authority lies with, the accounting authority. And therefore, when they're able to act decisively, it reflects a clarity and understanding of their authority and role within the system. So they are a typical example of how we expect all the other accounting authorities should actually deal decisively with challenges faced by a system. So from the development point of view, we are very, very pleased with the intervention, Chair.
Thank you very much for that, Mr. Mchis. Can I just emphasize this point? This document is said to be still embargoed. I was going to be happy even if we can collect this document so that the accounting authorities can just live with it. Whoever wants to report on it, he can report us to say there are developments that are taking place, but can we respect that, as to say we have been taken into confidence? We can't. We know the processes and the procedures. Let us not speak on the names. It was just taking the committee into confidence. Please, if ever we can collect those documents, so that we don't see these things going out to public before they are implemented. Yes, we are happy that there is a process. Things are taking place, but please, can we all of us make sure that we do as we have been requested to do? Thank you very much. On behalf of the committee, Sasita, yes, we still see the challenges that you are faced with, but the way you are handling them, we hope and believe that shortly this board that is in place, we are going to see the CETA going back to check. We are not more going to see those red legends that you see there. We are all going to come back next time with all the greens, and that is when we'll see and say, yes, the CETA is functional, and that is what we are doing. That is what we expect from you. Department of Higher Education, thank you very much, even for the support and the oversight that you are playing over the CETAs. We hope and believe once we put all the CETAs in check, we are going to deliver the skills that are necessary to our country. Honorable members, I know your work, you work tirelessly when it comes to the CETAs. Sir Peter, our chairperson, is not around, but that is our priority as a committee. That is where we always say there are huge monies that are being pumped there, and we want to see the value for money. We want to see the change when it comes to our community. So I know the part that the committee is playing when it comes specifically to the functioning of the CETA, and I believe they will always play that role to make sure that things are happening. So thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. The meeting is not attended. Honorable members, we still have minutes to adopt. I'm sorry for that. Let me resent on that one. Oh. Can we just adopt the minutes? How many such of minutes do you have, Annette? There are very few, honorable members. Let us adopt them so that we move. But otherwise, to the department and the investor, thank you very much.
when it comes to these minutes. I haven't read them. One, two, three, plus a report. No.
Can we come back next
Wednesday and have them approved?
Can I just maybe make a proposal? I think the report, we have done up to page 14 at the previous meeting, if you can remember correctly. And I think I've read the rest of the report. There is only one or two changes or actually additions that I can propose, if you want to do that. But otherwise, I can live with it. We can do it next week. But it has been halfway corrected.
At some point the AG was to check our minutes, they may not find them approved. So they just check with us like the first feet of us.
Just again, in that agenda, when you say approve minutes, spell them out. Because sometimes we think the minutes have been approved. When I read that approved minutes, I only brought the ones that I received yesterday. Because there was no indication that there are minutes that are still outstanding for that and that and that.